Hello, this is Rabbi Eliezer Diamond, Rabbi Judah Nadich, Associate Professor of Talmud and Rabbinics at JTS. This is the JTS Torah commentary for Chayei Sarah, and it's entitled Leaving Home. To the best of my knowledge, Chayei Sarah contains the only instance in Tanakh of a parent asking his child's wishes. Laban and Betuel, cannot come to an agreement with Abraham's servant, who we'll call Eliezer, about whether Rebekah should remain in Haran for a time or depart immediately to Canaan. And so they ask Rebekah to state her preference. Contrary to her family's expressed wishes, Rebekah decides to leave immediately. Prior to requesting that Rebekah remain in Haran for at least 10 months, Laban and Betuel had told Eliezer, "The matter is decreed by the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go." Why the change of heart? Some propose that Rebekah's family wanted time to prepare her trousseau. Nahum Sarna suggests, on the basis of Laban's claim that he had known of Jacob's imminent departure, this is later on in Genesis, he would have sent him off, quote, "with festive music, with timbrel and lyre." That's Genesis 31, verse 27. That perhaps, based on this, they wished to mark Rebekah's departure with celebrations. However, if either of these was the motivation for the request to delay Rebekah's departure, the fact remains that these wishes were not made explicit at the time that Rebekah's family first consented to her departure. Therefore, given what we learn later about Laban's personality, it seems more likely that self-interest is at work here. Abravanel and others adopt this reading when they suggest that Laban and Betuel hoped to receive more gifts from Isaac's family by delaying Rebekah's departure, perhaps thinking that these would be offered in exchange for letting Rebekah leave immediately. See Genesis Rabbah 60:12. Targum Pseudo-Jonathan 24:55 and Dat Zakenim for that verse. If we adopt this reading, we can better understand Laban's proposal that Rebekah be consulted. For whatever reason, he felt that he stood to benefit from Rebekah tarrying in Haran and assumed that his sister would understand that she was expected to bow to her family's wishes, regardless of her own desires. Along these lines, Genesis Rabbah suggests that when Laban asked Rebekah, "Hatelchi," will you go, his tone communicated to her that he was speaking rhetorically, as if to say, would you actually leave in defiance of your family's wishes? By seemingly allowing Rebekah to make the final decision, Laban hoped to get his way without being seen as failing to honor his word. Laban's behavior here foreshadows his deceitful dealings with Jacob, as is made clear through shared motifs and linguistic parallels. Laban's attempted use of Rebekah as a pawn to renege on an existing agreement reminds us of the bait-and-switch tactic he uses, substituting Leah for Rachel to squeeze an additional 7 years of labor out of Jacob. Laban's consent to Rebekah's immediate departure is followed by a festive meal. The next morning brings Laban's retraction. So too, Jacob's purported betrothal of Rachel is followed by a feast before the wedding night. There is a rude awakening, as it were, for Jacob the next morning. But Laban's plan fails, and in striking fashion, Rebekah replies, "Eilech," I will go. The 19th century commentator Malbim cites the observation of some unnamed grammarians that there is a variant form, Eilcha. The latter is generally used when seeking permission or approval for one's departure, and is sometimes followed by the word na, if it please you. See, for example, Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. The form used by Rebekah is a straightforward expression of intent, I will be going. The tone of her reply contrasts with the placatory response of Eliezer to Laban's insistence that Rebekah stay. Do not delay me now that the Lord has made my errand successful. Give me leave that I may go ve'elchana to my master. That's Genesis 24, verse 56. Even as a young woman, Rebekah is independent and decisive. This prepares us for future manifestations of these character traits. Suffering while pregnant from the commotion in her womb, she went, vatelech, to inquire of the Lord, Genesis 25, verse 22. It is she not Isaac, who once again goes and learns what the future holds for her sons. And it is she, having decided that Jacob, and not Esau, is the rightful recipient of Isaac's blessing, who devises a stratagem ensuring that Jacob receives that blessing. The execution of her plan begins with her instruction to Jacob, "Go now, lechna, to the flock, and fetch me two choice kids." Genesis 27, verse 9. As all these narratives demonstrate, Rebekah is a woman of action and purpose. Returning to the moment of Rebekah's defiant declaration that she will depart for Canaan immediately, one may ask, why is she so intent upon leaving? A midrash suggests that she seeks to escape a world of intrigue and duplicity. Rebekah is a lily among the thorns, to cite Shir HaShirim's Song of Songs, a daughter and sister of deceivers who nonetheless is and wishes to remain righteous. This is in Genesis Rabbah, chapter 60, section 12. She can accomplish this only by finding a new home for herself. I wonder whether the authors of this midrash were aware of the irony of their remarks. For while Rebekah separates herself geographically from her family, it has nonetheless left its mark upon her. In seeking a blessing for Jacob, she turns to deception. When she seeks to save Jacob from Esau's murderous plans for revenge, she maneuvers Isaac into dispatching Jacob to Haran. See Genesis 27, verse 46 to 28, 2. Intrigue and duplicity prove essential in accomplishing her purposes. As in Greek tragedy, Rebekah ultimately is unable to cast aside the legacy of deception. Not only is her attempt to escape it by beginning a new life in Canaan unsuccessful, her deceptions lead to a return, not for her directly, but through her son, to the place where lies and intrigue abound. And Jacob, having already served as the instrument of Rebekah's deceptive manipulation of Isaac, quickly learns what it means to live in Laban's world and becomes both the victim and perpetrator of duplicity. Whether or not we are the products of a nurturing and happy home, our upbringing almost certainly included exposure to some dysfunctional and destructive attitudes and actions. It is also more than likely that we have internalized some of them. Even if the days of childhood are in the distant past, and even if we possess Rebekah's drive and self-assurance, these patterns of thought and behavior are still with us, capable of harming us and others. As it was for Rebekah, so too for us. It is hard to leave home. Shabbat Shalom. If you enjoy the JTS Torah commentary, you may like to try our newest podcast, The Voice of the Prophet, where the weekly Haftarah is brought to life for our day, as it is declaimed in English by the renowned actor Ron Goodman. You can subscribe to The Voice of the Prophet on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts.